More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, the desires of your heart. How can we cope with the frustration we feel when what we want seems out of reach? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the desires of your heart. We're talking about what can you do when the things you long for, the things you wish for, just seem out of reach. How do you stop from falling into either frustration or, for that matter, envy? How can you be faithful to the desires of your heart that come from God, but also trust that God is working things out in his own way and in his own time, and that his answer will actually be satisfying? I'll be honest, that's the thing that I always struggled with, right? You know, I would give the desires of my heart to God, and I would even trust that he was going to answer them in some way. I just wasn't sure that the answer he gave me would be all that satisfying.
Isn't that funny?
It would fulfill me in some spiritual heavenly plane, perhaps. But on earth, it was my lot to be sad and miserable.
Like somehow we could have more grandiose ideas than God himself. It's amazing to me. That's happened to me a million times in my life. I will tell this, and yes, nausea warning, a lot of people are going to go, she's so sappy, but it's the truth, so I'm going to just tell a story. When I was in college, and you know, I was at a good Catholic school, right, so I prayed a lot, and I remember sort of making a list. I was tired of just kind of like dating, you know, that high idea of like, maybe this one will have this characteristic, maybe that one will have that characteristic. So one day in prayer, I decided to get focused with God, and I made like a list of characteristics I wanted in my future husband, and I listed them all. Some were silly, some were definitive that I absolutely needed. He needed to be a good man of God, blah, blah, blah. And I remember looking at the list and thinking, there's no way that God could give me all of these things in a spouse. There's no way. But I'll be happy if he does, like, half. And then I met you.
And ended up with only a quarter of those things.
No. And then I looked at the list after we got married and just crumpled it up and threw it away because it was so meager. It was such a starvation list compared to what he gave me.
I'm all embarrassed.
And, you know, like I said, nausea alert. You were all warned. But that has happened to me time and again, where, you know, we went through the loss of a child, through infertility, through life-threatening illnesses, and I thought, this is all God has for me. I've got to be accepting, or he's bringing me to some, like you said, spiritual place. And then I would give it all to him and surrender it to him, and he would continue to transform things. And I got to be honest, even in all these years of him coming through, I'm still afraid to testify to that sometimes.
Sure.
Because it's like, and then everything will go wrong and he'll never fix it.
Yeah.
We all deal with fear. We all deal with concern. We all deal with not trusting God enough. You're absolutely right. We're all thinking that God's not really ever going to give us the desires of our heart.
But, you know, the theology of the body reminds us that God speaks to us through the longings of our heart. And unfortunately, as you know, both you and I are kind of witnessing to here. You know, Christians often have a very complicated relationship with the longings of our heart. You know, on the one hand, these desires often just kind of bubble up unbidden, right? And they speak to a really deep part of ourselves that, sometimes we can't feel like we feel like we can't live without, right? On the other hand, knowing that we should want what God wants for us, we often try to either let those desires go or push them down, and then only to beat ourselves up when they keep coming back. You know, and sometimes that frustration can even lead to envy, where we become resentful of other people who have what we want, and maybe we even treat those people poorly or want to kind of somehow squash their joy for celebrating the blessings that they've received. But the theology of the body, as I said, reminds us that God speaks to us through those longings of our heart, and it helps us to develop a healthy relationship with those longings. We're reminded through the theology of the body that by consistently bringing those deep longings to God, he'll either remove those desires that aren't part of his plan for our lives, so we'll be okay with not getting them, genuinely, or if those longings persist, he's going to show us step by step how to meet those desires in a manner that's truly even more satisfying than we could have imagined. But sometimes those paths lead us in directions we weren't expecting. And the trick is to not drag our feet the whole way, saying, "But God, I want to go that way instead. But God, over there. But it's over. But God, but,
not world, your will, Lord, but mine." Yeah, the reverse.
Yeah, not your will, but mine, Lord. Yeah, right. Exactly.
The absolute reverse of what Christ said.
And you know, that's really hard to do, right? Because we think we've got it figured out how we're going to meet this need in a way that's going to be fulfilling to us.
Sure.
But God really does have a plan, and the key is being willing to trust that those longings that persist in prayer actually are from God. And that even if he's leading us down paths that we hadn't planned on, those paths really will lead toward genuine fulfillment. But we've got to pray every day about it. And we have to pray something like, "Lord, remove the desires that aren't from you, but show me how to satisfy the desires that remain in a manner that pleases you and helps me truly find real peace and fulfillment." And then we got to be open to the ongoing guiding hand of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're talking about today. How do we have that healthy relationship with those desires of our hearts that somehow seem out of reach? You know, that stick around even though we can't figure out how they could possibly come true. You know, a lot of times people will say, "You just got to let it go. You just got to give it to God, and just wherever He takes you." And that's true as far as it goes. But that doesn't really help you deal with the ache in your heart. And so we want to help you manage that ache more effectively. And especially, you know, coming off the heels of Mother's Day.
Oh,
you know,
mercy. Yeah.
On Facebook, I saw as many Happy Mother's Day, yay, posts as I saw this holiday is horrible. I you know.
It's painful.
People who are struggling with infertility or
child loss, bad relationships with their own mothers, so many things.
You name it. It's a holiday that brings up a lot of longing for a lot of people. And we thought that this might be a good way to process some of that, as well as taking it in other directions that speak to the desires of your heart. So are you struggling with frustration because of the unfulfilled desires of your heart? Are you aching for a child or a more satisfying marriage or greater emotional or spiritual peace or some other important wish that just won't go away, but you can't see how you could get it fulfilled either? Are there certain things you're longing and praying for that seem somehow out of reach? We want to help you discern God's plan for the desires of your hearts and discover the next steps to cooperating with His grace to find true fulfillment. Not just that sort of imaginary pious fulfillment that, oh, in some distant heaven I will somehow be fulfilled. But no, God is speaking to you through those desires. The trick is bringing them to Him in a way that allows Him to show you step by step what His plan is for meeting those, and trusting that His answer will truly satisfy, which is sometimes easier said than done, as we've both spoken to already. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll talk with you about how to relate in a healthy way to those desires of your heart and hear God speaking to you and leading you step by step to true fulfillment in Him. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we have so many desires on our hearts, so many things that we want, so many ways that we long to change, so many goals that we want to pursue, and yet in this broken world, with our even our sinful hearts, we are confused sometimes to know what you really want for us and what desires truly come from you. And then even when we are fairly certain that what we want is good and may come from you, we're not sure how to satisfy that desire, especially when obstacles come in our way and we're consistently frustrated. And then adding to the mix that we see other people getting that thing that we want, and it makes us crazy and angry and envious and resentful. And it's just a big mess of emotions. And so, Lord, we bring all that to you right now. And we ask you as we begin this week to take all the desires of our hearts and help untie all the knots so that we can clearly know what is your will for us and so that we can trust you. Trust you to know that the desires that remain once we've given them to you, will be fulfilled in ways that might be surprising, but will truly be fulfilling and lead to genuine peace. We place our trust in you, and we ask you to help us cooperate with your grace so that we might find the fulfillment that you desire for us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, the desires of your heart. We're talking about how we can cope with the frustration we feel when what we truly long for seems out of reach. Are you struggling with frustration because of unfulfilled desires of your heart? Perhaps you're aching for a child, a more satisfying marriage, a relationship at all. Maybe you're looking for emotional or spiritual peace that keeps eluding you, or some other important wish that just won't go away, but also seems to take its time, at least, in coming true. Are there certain things you're longing and praying for that just feel out of reach? Well, we want to help you discern God's plan for the desires of your heart and discover the next steps to cooperating with His grace to find the fulfillment that God truly does want for you. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Susan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Mexico.
Hi there, Susan. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So the desire of my heart is that my 33-year-old daughter, who is an addict, would get her act together. She has three children. One is with me, one is with my child's paternal grandparents, and one is yet with another set of grandparents. They don't have the same father, so he's with their grandparents. She's had issues since she was in junior high, and I know that she's been taking drugs since she was in high school. She's been in several different rehabs. She was recently incarcerated for a year, and then she was also supposed to go to an inpatient rehab for 6 months. So she was 2 months into the rehab, and she walked out. And I just don't even know how to pray for her anymore.
What kind of relationship do you have with her, Susan? How often do you see her? How do you relate to each other?
So during this incarceration, I went to see her once because I thought, you know, I have a really good relationship with her, and she has a really good relationship with her daughter, who's the oldest who I have. But
I have a hard time imagining that, Susan. I'm sorry. It doesn't sound like she's capable of a good relationship with you or her daughter. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, we talk. I try to help her. She's really a wonderful person if she's not on drugs.
No, I understand that, yeah. but that's fine. But I guess that doesn't really answer my question, though, because you're saying now, you know, I'm not trying to challenge you here. I'm really trying to understand what you're saying. You're saying you saw her once when she was incarcerated, and then you said that she has a good relationship with you and a good relationship with her daughter. I'm trying to understand what that actually looks like.
Okay, so
because that doesn't sound like a good relationship to me.
I'm probably a helicopter parent because I just have. You know, I've always been there for her, always, always, always. And then this time I thought, okay, I'm just going to really back off and see if, because what I've been doing hasn't helped. If I really back off.
So let me ask you, what kind of professional help are you getting, Susan? Because your daughter's been dealing with this since high school and she's 33 now. What are you doing to kind of work on your own stuff?
So I see a therapist and a psychiatrist.
Okay.
I'm on antidepressants. Mm-hmm. And the child that I have is also seeing a therapist and a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. And so...
Good. Are you working with them on how you can approach your daughter more effectively?
yes. Excuse me.
There's some hesitancy there. Okay, so are they giving you advice that you're not following?
Not necessarily. They're just giving me advice on, you know, this is kind of on how it affects me and how they see differences in me when she's incarcerated or when she's out of rehab.
All right, Susan. So you're asking how can you approach this? What do you need to do here? And you're saying, you know, what can I do for her other than pray for her? How do I relate to her? I want you to be talking with your mental health team there about what you need to, how you can use your relationship to both be healthier in your approach to her, and how you can use that relationship to challenge you to grow in ways that are important here, because I think that, you know, you are saying things that aren't really adding up to me. You say things like, you know, oh, she has a good relationship with me and her daughter. Well, she doesn't, because she's a drug addict and she's in prison. And people who are struggling with those kinds of problems deserve our compassion, but they're not capable of good relationship.
Because part of good relationship are things like trust and consistency and the ability to be honest with each other. And because she is battling this disease, this demon, this addiction, she's not capable of trustworthy, consistent, honest behavior. So the definition of you guys have a good relationship is wounded by what she's going through.
Likewise, this idea that, you know, okay, you've been a helicopter parent. You know, I don't know if you're being entirely honest with yourself, because the way you're describing this, you're not being a helicopter parent, you've been codependent. And again, I'm not trying
that
to attack you for this.
That often does feel like helicopter parenting.
I mean, helicopter parenting is bad enough, where you're doing things for the kid or... You know, But codependency is another thing altogether, where you're rescuing a child from the consequences that they should experience for the negative things that they've done. And that's the impression that I get here, that you've got some very deep codependency issues that's leading you to feel very powerless in your life, which then leads to depression. And the way you're describing the therapy is that it sounds like it's a lot of kind of navel-gazing, okay? And what I mean by that is that good therapy is going to certainly challenge you to look inward, but you should leave each session with a clear sense of what you need to do. You know, sometimes it's hard to follow through on that, but at least you should be getting counsel on what do I need to do to approach this situation in a healthier way, whether that's a situation with my daughter or my granddaughter or whatever the thing is, with practical steps for how will I use the circumstances of my life to grow in greater health, in greater mental health, in greater virtue. You know, so I want you to challenge your therapist and I want you to challenge your psychiatrist to give you practical ways to respond in a less codependent, more effective, healthier way with your daughter and with your granddaughter. And bring specific situations to therapy. Don't just talk about how you feel. Talk about what's going on and what do you need to do to respond in a healthier, godlier way to those situations and people in your life. Because honestly, the best way that you can help your daughter is by showing her how to be healthy yourself. And you're just not an effective model of that right now.
Okay. Now, you can get there. There's real hope there. But you really have to really work that process to be able to do that for her and bring her to a point where this relationship that you believe is a good one really is, really has strength and foundation so that you can rejoice in your relationship with her.
Susan, I want to thank you for the call. I know this was a difficult message to hear, and trust me, my heart goes out to you, both for the pain you feel for your daughter and the pain you're experiencing emotionally yourself. But I just needed to be direct with you about this, because a lot of times, you know, when we see our adult children suffering, we tend to focus on making them into a project instead of saying, what can I do to be a more effective witness to mental health and to spiritual health and to leading them out of the hole that they're in? And that's where you need to be putting your energy, showing your daughter how the power of grace in your life is making a real difference, which will then make you a credible witness to her and be able to mentor her through this. Thanks so much for the call. We have to take a break right now. When we come back, we are continuing to talk with you about the desires of your heart. How can we cope with the frustration we feel when what we want seems out of reach? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. We want to help you discern God's plan for the longings that you have and discover the next steps to cooperating with His grace to find true fulfillment. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This Mother's Day, bless the Catholic mothers in developing countries who spend hours collecting drinking water, often from unsafe sources. With your support, Cross Catholic Outreach can provide these women and their children with access to clean, safe water. Help us lift the poor's burdens, protect their health, and restore their hope. Join by calling Cross Catholic Outreach at 888-766-2426 or visit crosscatholic.org/Ave Maria.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled The Desires of Your Heart. You know, how can we cope with the frustration we feel when what we long for seems out of reach? 877-573-7825. Are you struggling with frustration because of unfulfilled desires of your heart? Are you aching for a child or a more satisfying marriage, a relationship in the first place, greater emotional or spiritual peace, or some other important wish that won't go away, even when you give it to God? Well, if you are struggling with certain longings that aren't coming true for you, and you're not sure what to do with it, we want to help you discern God's plan for the desires of your heart and discover the next steps to cooperating with His grace to find fulfillment. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Michelle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Hampshire.
Hey, Michelle. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Sure we can.
Okay, great. I just would love for you to, I want to read some excerpts of my son's letter to me from last night. The title is Why You Hate Me. And I gave the screener a little bit of background information, but I kind of would love to get some guidance as to kind of where I go from here, because it's the first time he's really actually opened up. Would that be okay?
Sure. We only have a couple of minutes, but go ahead and hit us with what you got.
Okay. All right. Mom, I am sorry, but there is something wrong with me. And don't start crying. Chill out. And remember, I'm a lost cause with no future. There are many things I hate, but mostly the fact that you are around me all of the time. Most of the time, I'm just trying to mind my own business or do my homework. I already see you too much everywhere. Just leave me alone. Also, when picking me up from school, please don't spam me with questions. I am not telling you anything, and I am keeping my emotions to myself. I like it better that way. Also, please stop trying to relate to me, because we are not alike. You need to chill the whole God thing out as well. I can't stand listening to the crap in the car, which is you guys, and also can't stand seeing these Catholic parenting books everywhere around the house. Please stop trying to get everybody together for family time. You know we can't stand it. You need to stop desperately hoping that we will get along.
Let me jump in here a second.
Yeah, Michelle, yep. Wow. Okay.
Where's your husband in all this?
You know what?
My husband just worked about 100 hours this weekend. So.
Okay. All right, we're going to have to hold on over the break.
Just
We've got some questions for you, Michelle.
We've
got some ideas for when you come back. We're talking with you about the desires of your heart. How can we cope with the frustration we feel when what we want seems out of reach? Give us a call. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Join today's discussion and engage with producers on the Ave Maria Radio Facebook and Twitter accounts at Ave Maria Radio. Respond to interviews and learn who's coming up on Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, and other Ave Maria Radio programs. Make it easier by downloading the Ave Maria app on your smart devices. Then just tap on the Facebook and Twitter icons to get plugged in on the things that matter most. That's the Ave Maria Radio app or at Ave Maria Radio. Build the church. Bless the nations.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Arguments about money are well known as one of the leading causes of divorce. But these arguments actually have very little to do with financial know-how. Rather, it's about the goals you and your spouse have for your finances and how you feel your money should be used. Here are four steps to managing money problems in your marriage. Step 1. Examine your conscience. Do your ideas about money line up with what the church teaches about money? Step 2. Pray about your finances together. Letting God enter into your financial decisions helps couples to act as a team instead of two opposing forces. Step 3, use your problem-solving tools. Resolve to take care of your spouse through your money decisions, but use numbers to make decisions, not feelings. And step 4, get professional help. You need access to right knowledge to make a sound financial decision for your family's future. See, talking about money doesn't have to be a negative experience. For more marriage guidance, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're talking now with you about those issues, well, related to the desires of your heart. You know, we all have certain longings, certain wishes of our hearts that seem to kind of bubble up unbidden. And even when we pray about them, won't go away. But also are hard to fulfill. And we often give in to frustration or even envy in the face of those things. We want to help you discern God's plan for the desires of your heart and discover the next steps to cooperating with His grace so that you can find true fulfillment. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Michelle from New Hampshire. Are you still with us, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay, so Michelle, you were telling us a little bit about your 14-year-old son. You were reading some excerpts from a letter he wrote to you last night about the anger that he had and
his self-hatred that he was expressing
and a lot of the frustration he had toward you about your desires to try to get the family together or to practice your faith at home and those kinds of things. And before the break, as the music was coming up, I asked you about your husband, and you said he worked about 100 hours this past weekend. Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah.
So talk to me more about your relationship there and what his attitude is toward the family and toward faith and that sort of thing.
I guess I would be the leader when it comes to that thing. I mean, honestly, he's an anesthesiologist, and his work life has almost doubled in the last 4 years. And he tries. It's really not that available, and he doesn't even have consistent times he comes home. You know, when he is.
So you're a single mom, is what you're saying to me. You're a single mom.
I am, with money. I'm a single mom with money. Yep.
Okay. And I'm imagining that you've complained to your husband about this.
Yes, he actually read the note, and he told me to read it this morning. He's actually off this morning because he worked all day yesterday. So.
Okay.
I think he wants to help. He doesn't know how to be very helpful. I think he tried to interject last night, and it just got into a yelling match, and he kind of went after Britain, and my son kind of ran away in a sense, and it's just he's trying to protect me too. Brian's like, don't get your mother upset. So I think.
Oh dear, that's not good. And let me ask you, is this son your only child, or are there more children involved in your home?
Well, he's our oldest.
Okay.
He's 14, and we have 3 girls under him.
And how are they faring? Are you seeing the same kind of hostility or disruption of spirit in them?
They kind of look to me as a bad mom because they're like, is he going to have to go away to, like, juvenile jail? They don't understand why he doesn't. He makes life miserable for everybody, so they don't understand why he doesn't, want to be with us. They worry that, we're going to send him away to jail. I don't know. Those are the types of things.
Okay. Michelle, and I know you said your husband's there today. So if he's not listening right now, I'd like you guys to download the podcast after the program. Because when I see this dynamic, and I do see it fairly often in family, okay, so you've got a son here, a son who's the oldest. You've got 3 girls underneath him, all right? And when you see this kind of anger and depression, the reason I asked, where's your husband in all this? Because I always see this dynamic as a way of getting the father to actually be involved. This is your son saying, I'm trying to be a man. I don't have a model for it. I don't know what to do about it. And I'm angry at you, Mom, for trying to make me into something that my dad isn't. So your husband isn't involved in the faith. He's not involved in the family. And you're trying to make him, your son, and your other kids do all this stuff that your husband's opted out of. And
rightly so. I want to be clear on that. You want
to
raise good, godly.
Rightly?
No. I apologize. Thank you for qualifying that you want them to be good, godly people who go to church and love God and have good morals and live good, clean lives and be a family. And that's a great desire of your heart.
But when the husband is not actively on board with that, especially when you have a male child, you get a lot of this kind of pushback. And now, my point is not to blame your husband. I know if he's listening right now or if he listens to the podcast later,
he's probably going to lose his mind here.
I'm not saying, you know, Dad, it's your fault. What I am saying, though, is it is his responsibility to learn how to be more involved and to be the father that his son needs him to be. This is not about shutting your son up so that he doesn't upset you. This is about listening to your son saying, I need to see that a man can be faithful, that a man can be involved in family life.
Can be loving, can be compassionate, can be there
present.
For me, can listen. Because at this point, the things that your son led that note with, that he's a lost cause, that he wants to be left alone, this behavior very much started with a cry for somebody please help me and please get my dad involved in this, to the fact that he now feels like so powerless to make this happen that the only power he feels that he has is creeping up on suicide.
And
he's telling you he doesn't want to exist anymore, and we've got to draw the line
and
at
he's so
that
angry with
and
you.
Heal him.
Why is he so angry with you? Because he doesn't want you. He wants Dad. And all you and you being around him all the time just reminds him of how much he doesn't have his dad. And that's why he hates you. Not because you've done something wrong, but because you're not the father that he's aching for.
At 14 years old, he desperately needs his dad.
And so your husband's saying, you know, knock it off, don't upset your mother, stop behaving so disrespectfully or being such a delinquent.
It's kind of like batting a fly away, saying, stop annoying me. Your feelings, your needs annoy me, upset your mother, and I just want to come home after a long day at work and just not be annoyed by all of you.
So y'all need some serious family therapy and marital therapy yesterday, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you don't do that, your son is going to get sicker and sicker and sicker in an attempt to pull your husband in. And you're going to lose him because he's almost there already. This is extraordinarily serious.
And I don't want to be hearing the voices of people who are saying, I just don't understand. She worked so hard as a mom and they seemed like such a nice family. Why did their son turn out this way? Or God forbid, why did their son kill himself? And again, I'm going back to his note where he's saying he wants to be left alone. He's a lost cause. He doesn't want to exist. This stuff, you must take this as his truth right now in his head.
Your
He's
hair's
begging
breath away
for healing.
From a suicidal threat. All right. So you need to handle this today. So I want you to get a good referral to either a good local family therapist.
Definitely,
don't send him to counseling by himself.
Yeah. Can we underline that? This
therapist
is not,
not
you know, your
him.
Daughter. And this is the other thing. Your daughters are saying, are you going to send him away? Is he going to go to jail? They're seeing the dynamic of somebody's going to fix him by isolating him more. Now, certainly, if he committed a crime, he would have to go to a juvenile institution. But we're not talking about a crime. We're talking about a kid who desperately needs his family to come together in healing, and he's letting you know that loud and clear.
Mm-hmm. So this is a very serious situation, Michelle, and I need you to take it seriously because you guys have been living in this place for so long that you make excuses for your husband instead of holding his feet to the fire. And this needs to be your wake-up call. Your son doesn't want you. He wants your husband. And he will continue to make himself sicker until your husband gets the message. And you need to advocate for him by taking this fight to your husband and saying, enough. I know you're trying, but your trying isn't enough. We need to go and get some skills so that you can be instead of just try. Thanks for the call, Michelle. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about the longings of your heart. You know, how do you satisfy those desires that when you bring them to God, just don't go away, and yet the answer seems to consistently escape you? Mm-hmm. You know, in the two calls we've had so far, the one thing I want to bring out here, okay, is that in both cases, there was a very serious desire, a longing. The first caller was talking about the longing she had in her heart for her daughter's health, yeah, her daughter's mental health, and for her daughter to be freed from addiction. But the challenge there was that she was so focused on her daughter's problem that she wasn't saying, God, what can I do to respond more effectively to my child? What do I need to do to take advantage of the resources that I've got here to be a healthier person so I can model this for my daughter? And I can then credibly lead her out of the problem that she's in. In the second situation, you know, again, we have a 14-year-old boy who becomes the identified patient, right, the focus of the problem. And the desire of the mother's heart is to have a good relationship with her son, but the focus is off because the real issue is her letting her husband just abandon the family for years now. Very often, the reason the desires of our heart are not being fulfilled is because God is saying, look, I want to give you what you're asking me for, but to get it, you have to look over here. And we're afraid to look over there because we don't want to do that work. But God speaks to us through the desires of our heart to call us to change in ways that are important to our relationship with Him and to our relationship with ourselves. Responding to those desires of our heart in graceful ways means finding the courage to go where God wants to lead us, not just to keep obsessing about why this thing hasn't happened yet. So bringing those desires to God and saying, Lord, teach me to respond to this desire in a way that glorifies you, that allows me to be open to the change you want to bring in my life, and then ultimately leads to the peace and fulfillment you have in store for me, is so incredibly important. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Today's show is The Desires of Your Heart. How can we cope with the frustration we feel when what we want seems out of reach? Are you struggling with frustration or envy because of unfulfilled desires of your heart? Are you aching for a child, for example, or a more satisfying marriage, a healthier family life, a relationship at all? Tired of being lonely? You're looking for more emotional or spiritual peace or some other important wish that just won't go away? We want to help you discern God's plan for those desires of your heart and discover the next steps to cooperating with His grace to find fulfillment. 877-573-7825. Stick around. More to Life will continue after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about the desires of your heart. How can we cope with the frustration or even envy we feel when what we want seems out of reach, after even after we've brought it to God in prayer? We want to help you discern God's plan for those longings of your heart and discern the next steps for cooperating with His grace to find true fulfillment. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Zach, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi there, Zach. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hello. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you today?
So let's stick with the theme on these children, huh?
Okay.
So our son Austin is 16 years old, and he has approached us this weekend letting us know his desire to move up to another state to be with his biological father.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm just looking for wisdom in how to navigate this because,
sure.
On one hand, I believe that our home is the best place for him to be. I believe that we, you know, we take our faith seriously and you know, try to instill virtue and all that good stuff. However, I was talking with a friend who was, he and I were reflecting on the book, Return of the Prodigal Son by Henry Nouwen. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about in light of our situation was that the father let the son go. And, you know, maybe there's some wisdom in that. And I'm conflicted. I'm ambivalent.
Sure.
Both
of course
these
you are.
Sort of opposing decisions have merit. And,
what sort of man is your son's biological father, and what kind of relationship does he have with your son right now?
They, you know, they're several states away, and they see each other a few times a year. They speak on the phone regularly, and it's more of a chummy relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, he tries to throw advice here and there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, you know, whether, I don't know how much good spiritual foundation that advice has, but
yeah.
He does try to, you know, be a dad sometimes, but he's also trying to be a buddy.
Okay, is he a safe human being? There's no addiction there. He holds down a job. There's no criminal. Like, is he a good man? Will your son be safe with him if he goes to spend some time there?
Sure.
Okay, there's not usually a sure in those situations.
Yeah. Sometimes there's not. So we
two thumbs up for that.
No, he's a decent enough guy. I mean, you know, okay. I'm going to be honest. He's a decent enough guy. It's just that. I have a strong suspicion that because there would be less structure, less discipline, more freedom than what I would be comfortable with a 16-year-old boy having, you know, that you know, it's just, it wouldn't be what we would choose.
Sure. So let one follow-up question here. How much of it is, because it's not unnatural for a young man his age to want to reconcile with an estranged parent. That's pretty normal.
Biological father, as we were talking to our last listener, a young man really wants to be able to model himself after great men in his life, and he doesn't know whether his dad's a great man or not yet. He wants some time to do that.
And
what he's seen,
right.
He likes.
Yeah, and
that's
hard for the person in your position because you raised him and you love him and you want to be that influence.
You want to form him your heart's
so
breaking.
Sure.
At the same time, question for you. You know, you just mentioned, you know, he would maybe have less structure over there. How much of this is being fueled by any kind of tension or frustration in your son's relationship with you and his mom?
Oh my gosh, he's a 16-year-old boy, so how do you answer that?
Well, you know, fair enough, but you know, I guess what kind of time do you get with him, kind of one-on-one?
So we do some we're involved in a church group called Fraternus.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been involved with that ever since he was in the sixth grade. That's some one-on-one time. But, mm-hmm. one-on-one time with any of the kids can be a challenge because we have a pretty large family. We have eight children. Mm-hmm. Well, six at home. Two have moved on to college. Austin is the oldest in the home.
All right, so here are two steps that I want to try to walk you through. In the short term, because, I mean, you know, he can't move in with his biological dad tomorrow, right? There's going to be a process here. So I want to see if we can take down some of that urgency in the short term by getting some more one-on-one time between you and him. And And I know it's a challenge, but it doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, hours and hours of going
you
out.
You don't
to the
need
music
a
park.
Men's weekend camping.
Yeah.
You need to,
like
go to the hardware store,
yeah,
or work on the car together, or go out for some ice cream, yeah, or something easy.
But the point, you know, what's needed here is time, what Pope Francis calls wasting time together. Okay? Just being with each other where there's not an agenda. You know, you're not trying to necessarily, do an activity per se. I mean, you know, the activity, like whether it's fixing the car, going to the hardware store, that kind of thing. But I mean, like, we're not doing a church program.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. You know, where you can just be with each other and let conversation happen. See, teenagers are really bad
at... And not just let conversation happen, but I want to say, and that he knows you just really want to spend some time with him because you like him.
Yeah, and teenagers are really bad at... Hey, let's sit down and have heart-to-heart conversation time, right? They stick at that. But they do well at, let's hang out together, and as I'm hanging out with you, stuff comes up. And that, because what he's saying here, I think, Zach, is that he kind of wants more of a mentor. And, you know, and it's, like I said, it's natural for a young man in this position to want to reconcile with his estranged dad. You know, he has a decent enough relationship with him, but he never gets to see him, and that's hard. So, of course, he wants to go live with him. But he might want to live with him less if he felt more of a connection on the home front. Maybe.
And if he does choose to go and live with him, he'll have a yearning to at least keep that connection with you and his mom. If he knows he's really desired by you guys in your home, loved by you guys, liked by you.
And I know you love him, and I know you like him, and I know that you communicate that to him. But sometimes kids don't receive that as well as we'd like.
Especially when... they're one of eight, and the time that we get with them, or even if they're a single child, the time when we get with them is about, let's go be formed in the Lord, or let's go be formed in, you know, the scouting so that you can conquer nature, or let's go learn this thing, because suddenly he's not a person, he's a project.
Well, those things are fine to do if you've got a strong relationship already.
If the other stuff is there, right, exactly.
You know, if you've got that wasting time together, then doing those activities are a great way to build on that and say, look, we also share this, okay? But when you just have that and you don't have enough of that connection, then the kid can start feeling more like a project. All right, so that's where a lot of the pushback can come from. I'm not saying that is the fact, all right, because you sound like, you know, you guys actually have a really good relationship,
yeah,
by and large.
And that you have worked very, very hard at this.
But I would say in the short term, see what you can do to step up that wasting time together piece, where he can just feel free to just hang out and talk with you. Eventually, if that doesn't change his heart, you might have to let him go for a time, so that he can have the experience of being with his biological dad and see what that's like. I would be giving you different advice if the guy wasn't safe or a decent person.
Definitely.
But since you're saying he's a decent guy, you might very well have to let him go for a time there.
But I think it would also be important, as you and your wife pray about this, is to see, and I'll tell you right now, if you say, I can't do this, you know, that's a big yellow light. See if you can have conversations with this man, your son's biological father, about, hey, you know, he really does need to get to know you. He has this desire to get to know you. A, do you want him there? B, if you want him there, how are you going to give him a consistent life that has some structure and has some rules and has some God? How are you going to let this be something other than just a free-for-all? So that we know he's safe and being formed and being loved. If you guys can have that back and forth, that would go a lot to keeping him consistent.
Well, and just a qualifier here, everything Lisa's saying is absolutely right on. He's going to probably at least see that as a judgment if you don't frame it.
Yeah, you have to frame it very differently.
Let me suggest how to frame
that. What are you
going to do? There's a great book by Elizabeth Marquardt called Between Two Worlds, The Inner Lives of Adult Children of Divorce. Right? And what she talks about is how even in a quote-unquote good divorce situation where the children have good relationships with both parents, the trauma of divorce is the breakdown in rituals from one family to the other. So, you know, when a kid is in one family, they have a certain number of friends, or they do certain activities, they have certain rituals, they have certain things that they participate in. And then when they go to the other family, the other side of the family, dad's side in this case, you know, they have a different kind of life and different rituals and different habits and different connections and all that. And neither of those worlds exist anywhere together except in the kid's head. And that's really upsetting for a kid, right? So in talking with his biological dad about, you know, what his life over there would be like, to say, look, you know, we've really learned over the years that consistency is really important for these kids. as they go from one house to the other. Sure, you're going to have different expectations and different rules. Our lives aren't going to be the same. I get it. But it's going to be important for him to have as much consistency as he can from our place to yours. What are you willing to do? And try to have that conversation with him. So those three things. One, build up your wasting time with him so that he feels like he can open up more with you and maybe take down some of that need, that urgency to go be with his biological dad. Secondly, start having that conversation with him about what that would look like, and then talk with the biological dad here about keeping those rituals consistent across. Thanks for the call, Zach. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out here again on More to Life. That's all the time we've got for today's program. If you'd like to learn more about how to deal with the desires of your heart in a godly way, check out my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. It's a book that really talks about how God is speaking to you through the desires of your heart and how you can listen more effectively to find true peace and fulfillment. Again, that book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, available at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice and work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.